What you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, man? I can't understand you, bro. You talking crazy. Talking about pollution, overpopulation. Talking about UFOs, GMOs. These big old veins popping out in your neck, bro. You spitting, man. And breathing up my nose. What you talking about? What the fuck you talking about, dude? Back up a little bit, bro. Cause you talking crazy.
Alright, we have made it.
What?
What?
We made what?
We made it here for another week. And actually, surprise, we have a surprise guest here that we just were not expecting.
The Pope? No?
He's...
waiting for an intro. He thinks I'm going to talk without being properly introduced.
Huh. And here's that guy.
Hey, it's that guy.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can boost your sound a little bit, too. I think that would be good.
Yeah, everybody's hearing. Well, everybody but Carol's hearing it.
And everybody but Karen. Karen's having issues.
Do you have like a PA filter to put on?
Oh, the PA filter?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see what I can find here. How about this? Try this. Oh, wait a second. Now talk.
Ladies and gentlemen,
no, it's not coming through.
Check.
No, yeah, that's not going to work. We'll go back to male dance vocals. That's usually
male
pretty good.
Dance vocals.
What you think?
I am hurting here.
Let me bring down the reverb. Let me bring this up. Okay, this is pretty riveting so far. It is cutting edge.
I don't want to hear about Cinder Kitty's dream about Simon Le Bon.
She has been talking about that a lot. Are you getting anything over there, Joe? You're hearing us. And I'm not hearing you at all.
Really?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me try again. Try now.
How about now? You hear me now?
Not really. Doesn't seem to be anything. Grab another headset over there. See if that's got anything coming through it. We'll just test that. That always happens.
We have genius radio going on here.
We do. We absolutely do. Uber.
But Stu is in the room there.
Hello.
Well, thank God, Stu's in. Well, see, here's one way to do it. I just do this.
Hello.
Nothing here. And then tap on that.
Ta-da.
Nothing. All right. Okay. Well, this is cool. Let me see if I can get this one fixed real quick.
So nothing, huh?
Oh, I know what it is.
Not plugged in?
No, it's probably batteries are dead.
Uh-huh.
So that'll take me just a moment. I might have some here, though. Just give me a moment here.
This is genius.
This is good radio.
A million-dollar radio show, and it's dead because two batteries.
Good. Stu is figuring things out. And, excellent. Okay. So here, Joe, you talk for a second.
Nobody said I had to talk with him.
You know, these guys were amateurs, but I thought they were amateur, comedians, not technical guys. I never thought they'd be a problem.
Well, normally it isn't, but, only when we're broadcasting. Any other time, the technical stuff is perfect.
Well, it didn't hurt that your budget for this quarter went towards beer and nachos.
Yeah. It goes beer, nachos, computer equipment.
Might be a problem. Now, wait, were they the nachos with the, you know, the charge extra for the chicken and the,
exactly,
and the beef? Did you get that?
The 35% beef product.
35% beef product. Any Taco Bell fans out there?
It's a beefy product.
Beefy product. Speaking of our lady listeners...
He's been watching too much Lisa Lampanelli.
Have. I shouldn't come off her. And
Adam Aaron. Elk. Sorry, there was an elk.
It's like water buffalo right there. Okay, now how do you sound?
Fantastic.
He needs to ramp up his audio a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. We'll give you a little more oom.
Pound him with the game.
A little more oomph.
He needs a little less Tangina, though.
What is this? How about graphic EQ? A little less Tangina?
Yeah.
No.
A little more Kilimanjaro?
No, see,
that's true. Beer nachos, NyQuil, then computer equipment.
All right.
He's got points, too.
All right, what? Talk to us, Joe.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
That's much better.
Can I clip a little bit there?
That's all right.
Much better. Okay, now let me turn this down so we're not blowing people's eardrums out.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, no, they're just eardrums. Okay, talk, Joe.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
And that's beautiful.
It is.
That's beautiful. Okay, hey, everybody, here we are.
9 minutes late, but we're here.
We're here, finally. And Karen, if you'd like to listen, you can listen right there. So.
All right.
So, let's, first of all, did he ever get an intro? Do we give you an intro
yet? Not really.
No?
No, I don't
know.
No,
think I did. Okay.
I told you I'm diva.
Well, let's give you an intro. Well, I was asking if we got you an intro, if either of us to an intro.
Oh, that's right. You were off for a bit, so.
Yeah, so. Okay. Let's intro you.
Is that a dress?
Because this was a complete surprise that we had Joe Anderson, the expert observer, pop over. And out of the blue, and now Brian's leaving the room. Always doing tech support. Okay, boy, we're just having all kinds of issues here tonight. It's kind of crazy. Anyway, we have had kind of a crazy week, and Joe was even involved in that.
Yes, it has been
in the absolute bizarreness. Where to even start with this? We are preparing our talk for Skepticamp. Now, speaking of Skepticamp, Joe, how are you feeling? Because you're going to be basically emceeing this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. We got a lot of people like yourself and Rich Orman and Reed Asau who are putting this together. A lot of their volunteers kind of behind the scenes. And this will be my first Skepticamp as an official resident of Denver, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's very cool. Now, I'm a little concerned right now because you had some ghost pepper just a little bit ago.
I did.
And you got a little sweat going.
I do, but luckily, the important thing is right after I had it, I had some ice cream.
Oh.
So tomorrow morning, you know, I'll be okay. I'll get relief pretty quickly.
No, you won't be okay tomorrow morning. You're going to need to
I'll be going, come on, ice cream.
Yeah,
come on, ice cream.
You're going to be needing some ice cream on the toilet
paper. Thank
you,
Cheech.
That's, it's not going to be good.
Yes, the one Cheech and Chong listener in the room.
The freak with the long hair, yeah, that's me.
Now, so for... We basically had, not in a row, but there were 2 weeks where we did an investigation into the behaviors. This is kind of like gorillas in the mist is how I like to refer to it. We're Jane Goodall, and we're
He's a gorilla? You just called him a gorilla.
Yes, I did, and would you disagree?
No.
Okay. We're interacting and we're learning the ways of the Woo paranormal groups.
In their native environment.
In their natural
meeting
environment.
Meeting them
in
their
exactly.
level.
Exactly.
Talking their talk, stooping down to their level.
Stooping down to their level because it takes a stoop to do that, definitely.
You had to dig a trench.
Yes. And just want to ask everybody, I see that Dave says, still hearing the stream here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate it. Is anybody having any problems with buffering tonight? Just let me know. Not like I can do shit about it, but I just, you know, I want to know if you're in pain because I enjoy that. So what we did basically is we kind of created a scenario. Didn't give them too much information.
Let me back up. We didn't kind of create a scenario. We created a scenario.
We did. We created a scenario. Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh my God, blood is dripping from the walls.
I wanted to do that, but I stopped myself.
Right. We didn't. We just basically said, or Karen basically said, this house is kind of creepy.
Yep.
That was basically it.
And by the time we got done, there was possessions.
Yes. We had full-blown possessions.
And we had a bit of projectile vomiting.
Yes. We had a little bit of feed in the plants, as I like to say.
There was. Why don't you tell them exactly how this got started? I mean, whose idea was it? And if
you know, I'm not really sure. I know that we had talked about it
a
lot.
We've been conspiring about this for... quite some
At
time.
At least 2 years we've been talking about doing this.
We just haven't had the nerve or the way to pull it off.
So, yeah, we finally did it. Now, Karen, I hope you're embarrassed. Because...
Beautiful.
Can't get your chat
Is it giving you the same error?
Yep, even with Windows Explorer.
Restart your computer.
No.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you have live tech support.
Well, everybody else is doing fine, so it is your computer. It's my fault. I will take the...
Oh, I know why she can't join the chat.
Why?
Because you and me are on it.
Oh, because we're all on the same same thing. Only so many people can get on a chat on one IP address.
Hold on. Baxter, get out of the chat.
Oh, I guess I can, because if I've got you two.
No,
because I don't need to be. It's bad for me to be in the chat. It really is. It's bad.
We don't normally allow him in the chat.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I'm leaving the chat, everybody. I'll miss you. Not really. But there we go. Okay.
You know, for the listeners.
And do you see what I have up on my screen? The Melmeter.
Oh, my God.
So I had to do a little bit of digging into it and see what it was.
What do you want
to
know about it?
Nothing now. Okay. I got it all, and I hate it.
It's an AC meter.
Well, let's bring up why we're even talking about it. So basically what we did is it's kind of strange, hi, my name's Karen, and blah, 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 and there's problems, and so they're going to come out. We don't want to give too much information since we're really going to be revealing this at Skepticamp. Denver Boulder 2011. So we're hoping a lot of people will come. But
May 7th,
exactly right. That's 2 weeks, Saturday. So it's up in Boulder. Everybody just go to skepticamp.org and you'll figure it out from there. You were going to say something, Brian? No?
Okay. Run with it.
Oh, you're just gesturing. Okay. So basically what we did is we went in and we messed with this group a bit. Now the first time we were in the house while they were investigating and we were monitoring them remotely from a room upstairs.
And they were so brilliant they couldn't discover that there were three people hiding in a room in the building with them.
Yes, in the house that they're investigating, we were there monitoring them and they never found us. Which was just brilliance in itself. Then, We kind of stepped back and let them mull over all of their data that they picked up.
Well, they were there for three whole hours.
I know, and that's a lot of data. So, they had like 5 billion EVPs, all of them on fire.
Yep. All of them are going to kill you. You're going to die.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sweet Satan.
Exactly.
Yes, they all sang Led Zeppelin.
I was about to say that's Zeppelin. That's
or Shermer, I don't know which. They got so far, or he the main guy Rick, he got so freaked out, and I'm not afraid to say his name, Rick. I'm afraid to say his last name.
Just don't say it three times.
Yeah. Beetlejuice. Yeah. Biggie Smalls. the thing is, he got so freaked out he ended up calling Brian for help.
Brian.
So we had to come up with a cleansing ritual, and all I can say, everybody, is it is brilliant. Wait till you see this talk. It is hysterical.
There has never been a house cleansed in this way before,
and never will be again, and never will a house get cleansed in this way.
Maybe we could use this again.
It was Scottish Gaelic and Fruit Loops, and I just don't think it's going to happen ever again.
Why? But and a bit of Aussie as well, as I remember.
Yeah, that's true. A bit of Strine was in it.
Strine.
Yes. Now, and which Karen, the linguist, has been so kind to teach me this odd language of Strine, and I've only learned a few words, but I'm working.
You can only handle a few words at a time.
That's true. What? See, I can't. I don't have the accent right to even repeat that. It was an absolute blast. But one of the things we're thinking about doing, if anybody's interested in seeing such a thing, is we're going to turn, because Joe, our expert observer, came over on Friday night and he observed it for us. Not only did he observe it for us, he documented it for us.
Yep.
He pretended to be the director / cameraman for a production company. And he filmed the whole thing.
Now, to be fair, I had some pretty impressive credentials provided by you guys.
You did.
Now,
yeah, the National Geographic ball cap.
That did it.
That was it.
He was sold.
Because, did you hear him mention that?
There were between 10 and 11 cameras on these people all the time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it was all plausible.
What about that?
That was the thing. That he actually wasn't sure about Joe until he saw the National Geographic hat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he pointed it out. You know, and did you? I don't know if you heard him saying. I don't think you did, because he said it to me on the phone. He said that, I thought you were trying some of that hypnosis crap on me or something. And then the demon came.
Then I saw it.
So it was absolute brilliance. Now, did you find a bunch of stupid news?
I have three items.
Three items? Okay, let's hit those unless, because we got a great guest
That's
tonight.
True.
And this show may end up going over a little bit because this is brilliant stuff.
This one I can really just do with the headline.
Okay.
A naked man claiming to be Jesus Christ broke into a residence when a woman and her young children were home and took all the photos off the walls before he was taken into custody.
You don't really need much more than that. That's pretty much the whole story.
Okay, here's another one I can do in just the headline. A new blood-inspired perfume may soon have an ideal group of early adopters, vampires.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Okay, here's the important one.
Okay.
Bill Nye, the harmless, children's edutainer, known as the science guy, managed to offend a select group of adults in Waco, Texas at a presentation when he suggested that the moon does not emit light, but instead reflects the light of the sun. Even the most elementary school graduates know that the moon reflects light from the sun and produces no lights of it on.
I protest.
But don't tell that to the group of people in Waco who were visibly angered by what some perceived as his irreverence, according to the Waco Tribune. Nye, in a town presence to...
Yeah, no, wait a minute. Waco has always been a place where you can count on stellar intelligence. How all of a sudden did Waco become so stupid?
Well, let's see. He gave two...
There's a vortex there.
That's
true.
Intelligence vortex.
Sucks it right away.
He gave two lectures on such unfunny topics as global warming and Mars exploration. But here's the good part. But nothing got people as riled as when he brought up Genesis 1:16, which reads, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night.
Well, then what happens to that light when it disappears part of the month?
Exactly. The lesser light, he pointed out, is not a light at all, but a reflector. At this point, several people in the audience stormed out in fury. One woman yelled, "We believe in God," and left with three children, thus ensuring that people across America would read about the incident and conclude that Waco is as nutty as they'd always suspected. The story originally appeared in the Waco Tribune, but the newspaper has mysteriously pulled the story from the online version, presumably to avoid further embarrassment.
Are you in the chat room now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and David Koresh is the crazy one.
If you can, because he's never going to pay attention. Let me know if there's any questions or anything going on in there that I need to know about.
So.
With Simon Le Bon. Cinder Kitty, shut the fuck up about Simon Le Bon.
Why doesn't she just tell us
about
the
joke? Go ahead.
No, because if she gives us the details, I'm going to...
You're not
going to
sleep well.
...for life.
Yeah, you're going to have dreams of your own about Simon Le Bon.
Yeah,
I know how
unfortunately,
that
you're probably right,
right,
and it's not
we'll
going to be good.
Pass that one
by. Oh, he is pretty hot, guys. He's kind of hot.
He's not my type.
All right, let me... Where do you want... I got to mute Joe here for the rest of the show. Okay, I see that. Let me give a little bit of background here on our guest tonight. Brian and I started our little journey on the hypnosis journey when Stan Romanek started claiming that through hypnosis he was remembering these equations for like wormholes and stuff through hypnosis. So we looked up Deborah Lindemann. Wasn't that her name?
Yep, Deborah Lindemann and her husband as well.
Yes, she was the one who was giving him the regression hypnosis. So we said, well, okay, where did she get her certification? We found out who it was, and we went and took the same classes to get our certifications as well. So now we are both certified hypnotists, and I am working on my certification for certified hypnotherapist.
Which means he'll be able to prescribe drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Placebos is what I can prescribe.
He will be a hypnotist and homeopathic medicine dispensary.
Of Simon Le Bon? Okay. Nator, I can assure you. I am jealous of Simon Le Bon's money. That's what I'm...
Yeah, me too.
What I'm jealous of. So anyway, so I take these online video courses, and they're great. I absolutely love them. I certainly have my skeptical bells go off occasionally with several of the things that are said. But I will say that my favorite instructor... Hey, there's a train that's going to go by. Let me see if my psychic powers are correct.
Not the good kind.
Never give Brian a beer before the show. He will make it musical.
You said you wanted a train.
You had beans earlier, too. You're going to make those musical?
That's true. You know, yeah. But I also have 5 boxes of gas.
We're going to have a duet here.
Dueling toots.
Let's see if we can do a Fleetwood Mac song. Okay, ready?
Tusk?
We need a goat.
Yeah,
Tusk,
yeah.
I mean.
Tusk, yeah, we'll do Tusk. Okay, so anyway, my favorite courses have been this particular instructor. His name is Ken Dubner, and he does both a rapid inductions class and a stage hypnosis class.
Which you did both beautifully the other day.
I did both.
I have to commend you.
Yes. And we're going to talk with Ken about that.
Let me say this. When I was standing on one end of the room and you were starting the thing and I hear this, I busted up. I had to walk into the kitchen. I was like, they couldn't have fallen for that.
Same exact way.
And they did. I mean, you heard me do that, and then all of a sudden, right behind me.
Yep.
That was perfect. Yeah, it was beautiful. And then just the whole finger thing, you know, I'm saying you're going to feel your fingers being pulled together. And what does Rick do? Well, I can't keep them apart. I can't keep my fingers from going together.
You pulled every bit of basic stage hypnosis in the world on him, and he went right for it.
Oh, he so did. He so did. So let's get Ken in here and let him talk. Now, he's a comedian, a stage hypnotist. He's also a hypnotherapist and an instructor as well. And we need to get this guy to TAM, is what we need. Because he can silence people like Rich Orman.
Hello. Don't say that. Rich is in the chat room.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. Good to hear.
Let me get your volume off the other computer.
Cool. Yeah,
hey, we got a lag.
Yeah, you're hearing us call you right now. The lag's not bad, though, for the internet.
One second.
Great. Now he said it twice.
Yes.
Sorry, Rich.
Rich Orman. Because Rich Orman,
I'm glad this is going over that you can hear me listening to you on the other radio,
and the fact that you're probably panicking that you can't get the other damn computer to shut the hell up.
Yeah, the other computer to be quiet. I just got a new computer, which is always a lot of fun. And now that I'm listening to you guys, I don't want to stop listening even to talk to you guys.
Oh well. You can stay, sir.
We are hypnotic.
Yeah. Yes, we're very hypnotic. So, okay, we ready?
Yeah, there we go.
Rock on. Okay, well, Ken, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to have give a little bit of your own bio, anything that I missed?
Sure. Let's see. I've been doing hypnosis for about 15 years formally. I was doing it my whole life informally, didn't know it. Just had a way of talking to people, but it's really a skill that anyone can pick up. As you know from taking the classes, there's nothing mystical, there's nothing, somebody has a special thing for it. It doesn't matter if you have a great voice tonality or not, it just matters that you're willing to learn the process. Uh-huh. And it sounds like you are quite dangerous at this point.
I have proven that, yes.
It was brilliant and comical all at the same time. But only to those of us in the know, I guess.
I tried to watch online the video, but my MySpace wasn't coming up. So, wasn't showing video on MySpace. Do you actually show you doing this with the gentleman?
Well, you can see pieces of it. And you'll be able to tell when I'm in the midst of doing something, you know, when I reach forward and tap him in the forehead, or when he's lying there on the couch and he starts reaching for his throat, and I mean, it's pretty obvious when he's under.
He went under like he'd been through it before. Well, I mean, it was just classic.
Well, it's like we tossed him in a river with a big bowling ball tied to his ankle. I mean, he just went down.
By that second snap, it looked like he was going to melt into the sofa. It's like, wow, that's beautiful.
He went down like a sophomore at junior prom.
Exactly.
Well, as we were talking about on the phone earlier today, you know, that person, when they get into that situation, they're in a hyper-suggestible state. Mm-hmm. It's more of just a formality than anything else. The guy was already hypnotized the way I view hypnosis.
Right.
You just happen to, you know, take that process another step further.
Right. Yeah, and that's absolutely. I agree with you. He had himself so hypnotized long before we even got there.
That's what I was going to say. Is somebody like him walks around in such a highly suggestible state naturally?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really doesn't have to go too far before anything you tell him is going to work.
Yeah, the thing is, it has to go in with his belief system.
Yes.
If you are coming into his belief system and then you're expanding on his belief system, he's going to go with it. If you come in with something crazy like the moon reflects the sun, well, yeah. But, you know,
clearly.
Exactly.
No human being is going to sit through that with their kids.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
I had to kick my son out of the room once you started talking.
Don't be talking that science around us.
I'm sciencing. I love the impression of the guy saying, yeah, you trying to hypnotize me with my fingers or whatever you were saying.
That was great.
I want to see the gentleman just to see if the face goes with the voice as I'm thinking of it.
Oh, it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to know exactly which one of us he is.
He is a caricature of everything drunken biker.
Yeah.
Now, Rocky Mountain, you guys are where are you based? I never asked that.
In the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. Give or take.
Give or take. We're in Denver-ish.
Okay, Denver. All right. Because I was thinking Appalachian Mountains when I first started talking to you.
That would be cool.
And then I was wondering why you'd even be investigating phenomena when you should be handling snakes and doing other kind of fun Appalachian.
That's we would handle snakes.
Yeah, that's a very good thing.
I love Appalachia right now.
That would be, yeah. I mean, we're totally for snake handling.
Yeah.
Speaking of Simon LeBlanc.
Have you done that yet?
I've handled a few snakes, but not for that reason.
Yeah, not in a religious manner.
Usually
not in a homosexual manner.
Usually it's in a, because it's a cool snake manner.
Right. It's a fan of reptiles manner. Now, we had talked a little bit. Now, one of the things that you were saying to me the other day is that you don't do that much stage hypnotism anymore, or you at least had taken a break from it for a while.
I had taken a long break from it. Now I do things with a partner, and we really have been working more on doing fundraisers for different organizations and not doing the club circuit. I took some time off from the club circuit because what they want you to do is a little bit more. I love the look on you guys' faces every time she sneezes. people are listening. You can't. I'm on Skype, so I can see them shoot this dirty look over to the corner every time you hear that little sneeze. And
well, actually, I looked at her and I said, "Hail Satan!" when she sneezed.
That's
right. But
no, the club circuit's a little more exploitive. A little more. Hey, we want people to do crazier things. And for me at this point in my life, A, being on the road wasn't as appealing. And B, it's one thing if you come into a situation and you say, okay, you want to do an R-rated show because that's the environment, you want to do this, that's the environment. But a lot of times in a club situation, people don't really know what they're getting into if you're doing a more adult show. Mm-hmm. So for me to do fundraisers and things that I feel I'm giving back to the community, I'm a little more open to it now.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I really think we need to get you out to TAM, because I think that our friend Rich Orman, who I had mentioned to you earlier with his statement that hypnosis is a bunch of bullshit, I think
he's
that's
not
actually,
in the chat room anymore. Either. You offended
did
him?
Did I? Well, good for me. You know, I need to start sending him nonsensical texts out of blue. No, Rich is a great guy, and we really appreciate him participating in this experiment. But I think there's a lot of skeptics that are cynics when it comes to hypnosis because there is so much metaphysical crap in hypnosis. That falls under that umbrella.
Yeah, thank
of
you,
the word.
Nephrologists.
Yes.
The word. Yeah, nephrologist. There you are. You have the nephrologist hypnotist, which is great because basically I smack you on the head, knock you out, and then we count the bumps. Works out. The thing with hypnosis is it's a misnomer. The word hypnosis is Greek for sleep. It's not a sleep state. It's been misnamed since the very get-go.
Right.
So it had a lot going against it. It's a different kind of phenomenon than that. And as we talked about, I wish there was a very clear delineation between what I do and more of the metaphysical.
Right.
Because they are two very different things. I don't get into people's belief systems. That's their own belief system, and we can talk more about, you know, my opinion on that. But it's just my opinion. When it comes to working with people with pain control or helping them with different problems or helping them simply to relax and de-stress or change a habit, that's very different than saying, I'm going to take you back to a past life or something like that.
Right. Or show, you know, get you back to that place where you can remember what the aliens did to you.
Of course I'm going to do that.
And why not?
You know what's funny? The first time I actually had hypnotherapy myself was with a hypnotherapist that was at the school. Part of going through the school I went to was that you had to actually, you know, of course be hypnotized, which was great. It was my favorite part of the experience. But you'd also go through a couple of therapy sessions to find out things. And the first thing that the woman said to me, we were just chatting about things, and she said, do you know about alien abductions? And I said, yes. She goes, you want to hear something fascinating? I've done 4 alien abductions in the past week, and I don't believe in it at all. And the reason being, because the client believed in it, they wanted to have some kind of catharsis.
Right.
And if it helped them, if it didn't send them screaming into the hills to buy their guns and you know, find a cave, I think it's fine. You know, as long as it's the person's belief system and it helps them to get where they want to get.
Well, I would have to disagree on one level. I mean, I think that
because what you did, you were on his own belief system, but we really didn't put him where he needed to get.
Well, yeah, I mean, we weren't helpful in anything, sure, but the other thing that concerns me is the fact that you get people like the guy that we were investigating, Stan Romanek, with him saying he was getting these equations and stuff like this. So as soon as he had someone that regressed him to experience this UFO experience again, he took that as proof and took it public.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part that disturbs me, is regression. It needs to be shown that while hypnosis isn't bullshit, it's also not proof of anything. And
exactly.
you can't use, I mean, you know, John Kappa said that he'd done so many regressions, and everyone he, you know, researched, the people lied. They lied, you know,
exactly.
So you can't trust regressions. Well, the general public doesn't know that. So when someone gets hypnotized and to remember something, it's either satanic ritual abuse, or I was Napoleon, or I got abducted by aliens, and they're taking this as proof.
Out.
And it's not proof.
The easy way to discount that, how many people could have been Napoleon in a past?
Well, exactly. Now, other than me,
theories. As we were talking about earlier on, there's 3 theories behind the whole hypnotic regression.
Right.
The first theory is it's straight from a past life, you know, 100%, you were Napoleon, and that's it.
Right.
The second theory would be that, you know, whatever Napoleon's spirit was, that somehow in a Jungian sense we can access that part of the overall soul of the world.
Consciousness.
And the third, and this is the one I subscribe to, is that it's symbolic. You're
right.
Going back into a
right.
past life to work out some symbolic thing. And the reason that it's symbolic is the unconscious mind deals in symbolism.
Right.
It's like in dreams.
Well,
I think
that that's great, and I agree with you completely, but I think it should be up to the hypnotherapist after it's done to make sure that the client understands that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're not leaving in some kind of fairy tale thought, you know. So they're not walking around going, yes, I was Queen Elizabeth. This is how your mind works through symbols, and this is what's going to happen. And I think that watching the people that we battle, I mean, the only reason I have a big bone to pick here with this, because I understand what you're saying and I agree with you, but the reason I have a bone to pick with it personally is just because we have to deal with the people after they leave the hypnotherapist. We have to deal
mm-hmm.
with them going and running to YouTube or running to Facebook and trying to spread this, you know, and they're blogging about it and trying to spread this as fact. And it leaves, what it does ultimately is, yeah, belief systems are one thing and everybody's free to believe what they want to, but these type of
I love the look on your face as you say that. You so. Really got to have a video.
The thing is what we've seen is these kind of belief systems leave the door open for fraudsters to come in and take advantage of people. And that's more of what we try to stop, is that kind of behavior. And more of these holes that exist, the bigger these fraudsters punch those holes. And
here's the problem, though, because, you know, everybody does come in for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody comes in because they're looking for help, and I make it my business then to tell them, no, your belief system isn't true, then really all I'm doing is denying them help, and they're going to go find someone.
Right. Well, I wouldn't suggest that. I wouldn't suggest you do that. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to say to you.
But let me give you an example of someone who came to me. She was going in for a double mastectomy, and she had a very, very, you know, New Age belief system.
Right.
And part of her New Age belief system, and I don't know if I have this exactly right, maybe there's people who can quote it correctly, but she believed in dragon spirits. She believed in a lot of different things.
Right.
And she wanted to commune with the dragon spirit so that she could get powerful enough to get through this surgery. And, you know, if my choice is to say, well, we all know that's a bunch of bullshit, but let me help you with this. Or to just say, hey, yeah, sure, I'll get you in touch with those. But knowing by doing that, I'm helping her to get into a positive place for her operation. I chose the latter.
Well,
because it really wasn't worth my time, and it really wasn't my place to tell her that her belief system is wrong, any more than it would be for me to tell a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim whatever their belief system is.
Right, right. But the big differentiation there is if you had someone coming in and trying to work these, you know, some of these alien beliefs. I mean, there's one thing to have a religious belief that carries you through something, or to have a belief that... you know, is a bit more damaging. I mean, the only reason they're coming in is not to get rid of pain, not to heal anything, but because they want
proof.
They want proof that they were abducted, and they want the equations that the alien gave them or whatever. I would think that you might have a different view on that, but it's just like James Randi.
Their opening comment will be, I know I have been abducted by aliens, and you are going to prove it to me.
Right. That's basically how they're coming across. So I can see a big difference.
And my opening comment is, you know what? I have a friend that I can refer you to.
Yeah.
And then I pick anybody that's really pissed me off in the last 3 months that's actually a credible hypnotherapist.
His name is Baxter.
And I say, sure. And, yeah, next time it's going to be Baxter once he gets the certification. I'm going to say, I know a hypnotherapist who actually... And I could say you are an expert in this, actually.
Well, you could, yes.
Feel free to talk to him and find out a differing viewpoint. But a lot of times, if it's someone like that, I will refer them out just the same way, you know, and again, this is my prejudice, just the same way I would refer out someone who's showing, obviously, signs of psychosis.
Right.
Because it's just not my area of expertise to deal with, and it's not something I choose to deal with.
And that's just the right thing to do.
Well, but as we were talking about, there is that fine line of what a person's reality is.
Well,
and
the thing
reality
is, though,
changes every year.
Yeah.
We
didn't talk about that, too.
You have to be able to get the difference between I need to go to a hypnotherapist and I need to go to a therapist.
Right.
I mean, there's that line. And
or a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very fine line.
Shock therapy.
Yeah, some of these people should just be thrown on hold, but...
What I was going to say about James Randi is he's pretty much an atheist. He likes to claim that he's an agnostic a lot, but he's basically an atheist, and has a huge amount of skepticism for everything, and he's kind of the godfather of modern skepticism in a lot of ways. And he has said,
his grandmother.
Yeah, when she was dying and she was talking very religious thoughts, he went right with her because he knew that there was no point. Now was not the time. And I think that's probably what you're expressing is, when someone's coming in for pain and they're coming in for different kinds of healing and stuff, well, now is not the time.
It's not about my worldview, my self-aggrandizement, my grinding my own axe, so to speak. It's about the client and taking the client where they're at and helping that client. And if it calls for, hey, I've got to help, buy into their belief system, then I'll buy into the belief system. There's a famous story in neurolinguistic programming. It's kind of anecdotal, but that's very related to hypnosis. Tony Robbins does this kind of thing. They studied hypnotists to get this kind of thing going. There's a great story in that, and I'm sure it actually probably has to do with other therapists also, of one of the therapists going to a mental institution and being told that this person is very uncooperative. They think they're Jesus, and they're very uncooperative. And what he did to get that person to understand, that he can be cooperative was he said, well, then, you are a carpenter, and we do need help building this section of the hospital. Why don't you help us out, Jesus? And that person opened up and started to become more part of the group. So there is that fine line. Now, when I went through school, for mental health, and I worked with people that were, mentally ill when I first was getting out of college. And that was not something that was approved of, to talk to people on their terms. It was really all about, we have to reinforce that you're delusional. you're delusional. Almost as if the psychiatrist was very frightened that maybe he'd find out this person isn't delusional. I don't know. They really had they had that feeling to them, like they were almost holding on to their own reality so hard.
Right, right.
And I always thought, even as a, you know, somebody in their 20s, I thought, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Why not communicate with this person in a way they feel comfortable
right.
and work from there?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we were talking today also about defense systems and multiple personality disorders and things like that. And you were talking about how in the mental health arena, it seems like the perspective on all this seems to change every 10 years.
Yeah, the DSM, which is, it tells people who's crazy and who's not, comes out. The new DSM comes out. And basically we've discovered that this is now crazy and this doesn't exist. And what we thought was crazy before is something else. In the 50s, if you were gay, you were actually considered to have a mental illness, according to the psychiatric societies of the time. And that changed, you know, slowly. And I don't think the modern one has any reference to that being the case.
Well,
this year, yeah, new things come out every year, but they come up with new things every year, too. And it just goes out of fashion. But that becomes the reality. You know, it's funny, we're laughing about it, but if it's 1963 and you're put in an institution because you happen to be attracted to the same sex, it's not that funny.
Right.
This happened to people, and scientists like to think that scientific method really guarantees that it's all going to be true.
Right.
And when it comes to psychology, it just doesn't. It's subjective. We have not come up with a good way to really judge subjective reality, and I don't know if we ever will.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think it's those rules are going to change as the rules of our society change. You know, as we become more tolerant to this and less tolerant to that, that's probably how they're going to change every, you know, 10 years. And it's I find it an absolutely fascinating and bizarre happening. You know, it really blows my mind.
But at the moment that book is published, you are able to then sit there and diagnose someone and say, you are this. You know, this is it. It's in the book. You are this.
Wow. Well,
what about
it
2 years ago
yesterday.
In the other book when I was the other? No. That's not. That's a bunch of bull. You're this. This is what you are.
Yeah, you're crazy today. Yesterday, not so much.
You're today crazy.
You're today crazy.
And they treat it as if it's as, you know, as true as the wood on the desk in front of me. It's all a nominalization. It all doesn't exist. You can't put it in a wheelbarrow. But we use these descriptive terms, like schizophrenia. We use these descriptive terms to describe other people's subjective experience. But that subjective experience is only a subjective experience.
Right.
We can't get into their heads enough. Now, if we happen to have a radio thing, and we watch some tapes of somebody do hypnosis, and we have someone who's out of their minds already, in a house where they think they're haunted, sure, we can mess them up pretty good.
No, we wouldn't do that.
No, that's
be unethical.
That's unethical and immoral. We couldn't do that.
That is horrible. That is horrible.
I really have to say, next time, please call me first. Just talk to me first. Let me give you some advice.
But it was brilliant and wrong.
I mean, you know, the only thing that was really worrisome about it is when he said he was going to stab himself in the neck with a knife. Other than that, it was fine.
Yeah, I saw no problem.
There was nothing major. Oh, God, what a crazy.
Now, what are the legal ramifications of unknowingly hypnotizing somebody? And
we have the video.
Those release forms
you
actually
say that
do
the,
death.
The person was an attorney.
Yes.
DA?
Yes, he was district.
And as I told you, keep him close to you.
Well, the thing is, those releases are based on a reality TV show release. So
dangerous.
So then they're ironclad for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they include
and
death.
Dangerous situations and death are right there in it.
So we're good. We're good. It's okay. We can go around killing anybody we want. We're covered.
That's true.
So
if you were to get into the greater definition of hypnosis, really. And tell me if there's anything you want me to explain, because, you know, I might talk in jargon once in a while. This is so second nature to me.
Right.
But you're going to get in the greater explanation of hypnosis. That guy was hypnotized.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't hypnotize him.
No, he was there long before.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, the legal case for that, to prove that you hypnotized him would be legally kind of hard to do.
Yeah, we would have to destroy all the tape. you know, video.
I already destroyed
what
his.
What tape?
There's no tape. This is just, yeah.
Well, you know, for me, a lot of the stuff that you investigate is simply people that are being hyper-suggestible.
Oh, yes. That's exactly it.
Well, let me back out of this and
maybe
say
you
want
to explain, you know, since you guys have gone through the class, the first class, what attracted me to that school originally was their explanation of what hypnosis was.
Uh-huh.
And it was a form of overloading the conscious mind so that the critical factor, that part of you that says stop and think, oh, the magic beans aren't going to make me fly, so just because I ate them doesn't mean I should jump out the window.
Right.
That part of you gets overloaded enough that for better or worse, it just kind of shuts up for a while. Now, dealing with a hypnotherapist, that means that we can get you past a lot of your blocks and a lot of problems you have. Dealing with some nut from some radio show, now that's going to cause some problems. But all kidding aside, we do hypnosis all the time.
Yes.
People hypnotize their friends. We do things. There's things that you've done, your friends have gotten you to do that you look back and you think, why would I possibly do that? Why? Because your friend congruently said, hey, this is a good idea.
Yeah, we actually
no reason to doubt him.
We did that to Joe just before the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We got him to have some hot sauce that was a little hotter than he expected.
Oh, yeah. No, I was planning on it.
Objective reality is so easily manipulated. You know, three of your close friends go, yeah, no, that's a great idea, and they do it quickly, and suddenly you go, yeah, I don't know, why did I put hot sauce? I hate hot sauce. Well,
which brings up a good point. I mean, almost everything that we do psychologically, you can trace back to some sort of evolutionary reason of why that behavior's there. I mean, you know, why do we have a mothering instinct or a hunting instinct? Why do you think it is that people can be so suggestive?
Well, and would you say that there's an element of hypnosis to peer pressure?
Very much so. Especially for teenagers. You know, teenagers, the brain as we know it as an adult doesn't fully develop till you're about 25 years old. Some of the higher level functions don't fully develop.
Or with us,
some
not yet.
Parts of the brain don't fully develop.
Don't wait.
And I mean, that doesn't explain a lot to any parent. I don't know what does. But those people are hyper-suggestible, in that case especially to their peers. And I can tell you as a stage hypnotist, to do a stage show for a group of teenagers or college kids is much easier than to do a stage show for a group of people in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
Whether it's because the brain is developed in a certain way or they've just become much more set in their ways, whether their defense mechanisms or whatever you want to call it are on high alert, or whether young people are just more open to new experience. I don't know what it is. I just know that that's the case, that I know the show is going to be a lot easier at a time like that. And when it comes to the evolutionary aspects, I think it's more that we've developed over time, we've evolved that critical factor. We've evolved that ability to critically reason. And that for me, hypnosis, you're kind of getting to a more primitive part of your mind.
Yeah.
Where you don't have the critical factor getting in the way. You're not thinking, oh, by the way, if I just think my hand is cold, it'll stop hurting even though I cut my finger off.
You know,
because if you say that to someone who's in a very, you know, critical factor state, they'll look at you like you're insane.
Right.
But if you say that to somebody in shock who's in it, you put them in a hypnotic state, you're going to help them because they're not going to argue. They're just going to believe it. Their brain's going to act on it. Their body's going to act
well,
on it.
Well, it's like you watch Jackass and you see
Johnny
Knoxville get kicked in the nads and you go, oh, and you feel it. It's it's empathy, I guess.
Well, and that's
I want to thank you. That is the most concise explanation of hypnosis.
Thank you. I'll be here
all week. It's like watching a man getting kicked in the nuts and having your own nads recede into your body.
Yeah, I'm feeling it right now. My nads are cold.
Thanks
a lot, guys.
I needed that.
Yeah, that
ladies will explain it later.
Well, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the teenager mindset, I'd have to agree. I mean, there was so much of it where it's kind of like, just do it, just do it. You know, and that's how we think as teenagers. You know, don't even think about it. Just do it. What?
That is the Rocky Mountain Paranormal way of life.
True.
It really is.
That's true. We do it.
Yeah, let's go find another paranormal team and scam them. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
If we read down the list of absolutely stupid fucking shit that we've done over the past 6 months,
I think
you would be ready to do some stage hypnosis on us, Ken. That's all
exactly.
I can say.
Oh, and I think that would be hypnotherapy.
I mean,
it would.
I'll give you an example. Because people wonder, okay, how does this possibly work when they see a stage show? And all you're doing in a stage show is you're taking regular phenomena that everyone experiences, but you're magnifying it, you're making it spectacular, you're making it a show. and it's very different than what you do in hypnotherapy. There's very little. Hypnotherapy usually is very boring to watch. Believe me, I've watched more tape probably than 99.999% of the people on this planet
right.
of people being hypnotized, and there's nothing more boring than watching one person talk and another person have very subtle reactions on their face that the other person is picking up on.
Right.
Stage show is very different. You're making it look spectacular. So, for instance, it seems, okay, it seems amazing that somebody could not notice that I'm there, but notice that I'm holding a cup in my hand. Yet you've walked around the house looking for your glasses that are on your face. You've
right.
walked around the house looking for your keys that are on the table that you've looked at seven different times. You've looked at that table. You've looked right past the keys. They were there. We call it a negative illusion, hallucination.
Yes.
But it's all phenomena that we all go through.
Well, and it's amazing because when we get that reported to us, it's a paranormal happening.
Exactly.
The ghost hid the keys.
Exactly.
That is the problem. People don't understand their own minds, and therefore they're open to exploitation by people who do either do understand this naturally or just intuitively understand it. My theory, my personal theory, is a lot of these guys may not know what they're doing. They just naturally, it's a communication technique, and they're good at it. And they're very persuasive. And so they persuade these other people. And now you've got that groupthink going on. Now you've got that teenage mentality that says, go in the house, there's a ghost.
Right.
Go in the house, there's a ghost. Hey, everyone says there's a ghost, there must be a ghost. You know, there's been studies done where the human nature of just giving into the group, if you look up Robert Cialdini's...
The Art of Influence? Or Influence, just called Influence.
Yeah, Influence, the book Influence. One of the studies that he quotes is that they did a study, and there'd be four people in a room, and three of them were Confederates, and the fourth one wasn't. And they'd show them two lines, and one line was obviously longer than the other, and they'd ask them which line was longer than the other. And the three Confederates would first all say the short line, and the fourth guy would invariably say the short line was longer. And he wouldn't just say it and then after an interview say, well, everyone else said it, I thought it was. He would literally argue the point in the end. No, it was. It was longer. It was obviously longer. No, it was longer. Because you have this certain thing, consensus reality. And if you get 10 people in the room telling you that black is white, you start really wondering, it's black, white.
I just had an idea for my next date. Next time we get intimate, it's going to work great. Yeah.
Which is longer?
No shortcomings at all.
This yardstick or...
Yeah, but you need a whole bunch of Confederates for that. And you have to make sure they don't giggle.
Yeah, good luck, Joe.
I'll keep my pants on.
But, this is it's such an interesting thing. I mean, so many people, I think, have such an absolute wrong perception and understanding of what hypnosis is that I think it's easy for them to think it's a bunch of bullshit. You know, when you get the guy that's up on stage, you know, the big guy that ends up, whether he's dancing with a broomstick or whether he's, doing whatever, talking like a woman or whatever you end up getting him to do, and then he comes down and his friends are like, oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, I was just playing along. I think that it's a really easy thing for a lot of people to misunderstand.
Here's the funny
game.
Thing about that phenomenon. Because even after being doing this for so long, there have been people, because again, if I'm doing a stage show, not a demonstration where I'm actually demonstrating the phenomena, but a show that I'm getting paid to make people laugh, it's about the show. And if I think somebody, might be just kind of playing along, well, you know what, if they're really funny, it's a show. So I'm enjoying them, they're enjoying the show, I'll let them stay up.
Right.
If, however, I think somebody, is hypnotized but is just very boring, I got to let them go because that's not going to be very interesting.
Right.
I have had people come up to me that are positive they were just playing along. Positive that that's what they were doing. And then I'll ask them specifics about this, that, and the other, and then suddenly they say, oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Well, you were just playing along. Yeah, but I don't remember doing that. Or you'll ask their friends, do they have the kind of personality that would just play along? And the friends would say, no way, that guy does not play along with anybody. He's not that kind of guy. He's not a, hey, let me get up there and be in front of a group of people kind of guy.
Right.
I had that happen yesterday at this show. Someone with a teenager whose parents said the guy was so shy, and in talking to him afterwards, he wouldn't even have eye contact with me. But during the show, he was a star in front of everyone on stage.
Yeah.
Somebody who suffers from stage fright.
Yeah.
Other times, I've had people that, I really personally myself thought, you know, this guy is not hypnotized, but he's having a good time. I'll leave him over in the corner and let him be on stage. He wants to be a star. Great. And afterward, friends will tell me, he will tell me, I have no idea what I did. My friend went, and they'll say my friend went up with the intention of screwing you up, of not doing the show, of doing everything opposite. Now he doesn't remember anything, and he's wondering what he did. You know, so it is one of those things where I defy any scientist to, at this point in history, at this point in time with the technology we have, to tell anyone if they're truly hypnotized or not. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
We need to get a hold of Peckman with his brain fingerprinting.
Oh, yes. He's so brilliant.
Who said that?
Oh, the guy named Jeff Peckman. We won't even go into it. It's a long story. You'll probably hear it if you listen to any more archives. We talk about him. Years ago, I had talked with a fantastic, brilliant young MD. He's a pediatrician. His name is Dr. Joe Albeitz. And he's just an absolute brilliant guy. He works for Children's Hospital. And we were having a discussion about how the placebo effect is absolutely real. I mean, it gets discounted a lot as, oh, that was just placebo effect. Well, just placebo effect is huge.
That works as good as anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's like, if we could only find a way to make the placebo effect happen in a higher percentage, you know, happen
exactly
more often, then we would really be onto something. And that was one of the things that excited me when I took 101 this hypnosis course, is because suddenly I'm seeing that that's kind of what this is we're increasing the percentage that the placebo effect can happen.
I think there's a real connection there, and there's also another, I think his name, Richard Bandler, one of the neurolinguistic guys, you know, had a joke saying, we want to come out with a product called placebo, but the FDA won't let us do it, and it's good for anything you have, just take it, you'll be fine, you know. And really, that is kind of true, because they have to, in clinical studies, they have to factor in the fact that one-third of the people are going to have the effect anyway.
Yeah.
And,
well, and
why not study that and try and help that one-third of the people that have that ability and help the other two-thirds learn how to do it?
Well, I think that's one of the real pities, too, is because people perceive placebo, for some reason, they perceive it as the opposite of what it is.
Right.
They perceive it as a placebo means it didn't work. No, placebo means there wasn't anything that should have worked, but it did work.
Right?
But they think, oh, sugar pill. You know, placebo, sugar pill. It's nothing. It doesn't count. And it's probably the most important aspect that we should be looking at. And that's one of the reasons that I really want to stick with this hypnosis crazy thing.
Well, there's two things, right? There is a placebo, and there is, secondly, a placebo effect. Those are really two different things, right? Because you have a placebo, right?
Yes.
So maybe that's the confusion. Maybe.
The placebo is whatever you're doing. And for what you guys are studying, the placebo could be the amulet, to me, in my belief system.
Right.
The crystals, the this, the that, those are placebos. And the effect is, what is it affecting? Now, there's the opposite. Now, the nocebo is an actual phenomenon also, where it's having a negative effect.
I've never heard of the nocebo.
Nocebo. It's placebo tends to be a good thing, and then the nocebo tends to be a bad thing. So, you know, the amulet caused me to be sick.
Possessed by Pazuzu.
That's the opposite. It's just a negative placebo. And it's well documented. It's something that medical science has totally ignored for many, many years. In the last 10 years, there's a lot of changes happening. The AMA is opening up a little bit more to some things. But the medical model is very dogmatic. We talked about dogma on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, every system has this dogmatic system of thought. Even the skeptics have their own dogma. And when it's challenged as a group, the group gets its hackles up and says, no, this is our reality.
Right.
That's all good for you guys to sit on your show and the hypnotists and everyone talk about reality, but we're the AMA, and we know what reality is.
Right. Exactly.
We don't need no placebos.
What? What are you showing me?
Isn't that nice?
Is it? Yeah, it's very attractive. What's it made out of? I'm sorry, Brian's showing me pictures of a Pazuzu statue. Speaking of amulets. Now, can one man's... can one man's nocebo be another man's placebo? Because I'm thinking that's what happened this last weekend with us, because it was our placebo, and it was his nocebo.
Exactly.
But
because it's not about the actual thing. It's about the value that's put on it. Negative, it can be positive. It's all random because it really is no connection other than the connection that the person makes in his mind, the association that that person makes. And what do you deal with? You deal with people who hear something creaking, and instead of saying my house is settling, says my Aunt Marge is watching me have sex with my husband. You know, and that, that's a big leap to me, but to them it makes total sense, and God bless. But to me, that's a big association. Okay, I just get the house is settling.
Yeah.
Or I get the, you know, there's a funny smell in my house. Maybe I better clean the mildew. There's a lot of things that I would walk into that same house probably, and because it's not my belief system, say, well, yeah, it just seems pretty reasonable that this happens in this house.
What?
The doors are open. The
right.
Room is blown.
Exactly. Oh boy, do we see a lot of that. Now, what is your feelings on a lot of these dynamic televangelist types? Such as the Benny Hinn's and the
Bob Larson.
Without judging anyone's belief system, because as always, I'll always preface anything by saying I am not the final authority on anything, and I could be totally wrong. Just because I can do the same thing someone else can doesn't mean necessarily that they're wrong and why they think it works.
No, we've watched some of these guys in person. That's why it works.
Yeah, they took classes from you.
Yeah, there's no.
There are people out there that I watch and I know for a fact have studied hypnosis. They're using the light and heavy arm test that you saw me do in the class, and
yes.
They're using it as a way to say if you're reaching up to God with one hand and the devil's pulling you down with the other, and
yep.
These poor people are crying because one hand is going up and going down, and they're not understanding why they're doing it, and they're being manipulated.
Yeah.
There are other people that I think are just great communicators that might believe in what they're doing, and they're just great communicators, and there are other people that might be totally sincere, and that's fine, too. When it comes to Benny Hinn, I do think he's a great hypnotist as far as knocking people out in trance.
Uh-huh.
I do exactly what he does on stage. I've knocked people out. I've used the force to knock them backwards. I've gotten them laughing. I've gotten them speaking in tongues, but I just call it gibberish. But my friend of mine who was a fundamentalist Christian watched me do that on a tape and freaked out and said, oh, my God, I used to do that in church. So I was just doing a show. That was different. That was not God talking through anyone. That was me doing hypnosis.
Right.
Does that mean that I know for a fact that that doesn't happen? No, I just know that there's nothing I've ever seen one of these guys do that I can't mimic or get someone else to believe they've experienced.
And that's a great point. You know, that's a great point that we as skeptics always have to accept that just because we can duplicate it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist in the way they said. Nice.
It's life-size. It's for sale.
Oh, my God. Do you like the movie The Exorcist? I hate to shift.
Yes. It frightened me to the point where I had to leave when I was 12 years old. My mom had to come pick me up. My sister stayed because we have that kind of relationship. And I actually, 3 weeks later, for some odd reason, my bedroom,
screen here, Brian.
I was sleeping with the lights on. At 12, I put the lights back on after watching this movie. My bed broke, just randomly happened.
Uh-huh.
And man, if you want to see a kid that suddenly believed that maybe the devil was in his room, that was me at that moment. I got freaked out until I realized that, oh, the bed had just broke.
They are selling a life-size
animatronic.
Reagan McNeil here.
Oh, put it away before I freak out.
She comes.
I'm gonna have to go to my own therapist.
She comes with the
remote
control.
When that head turned around, that was the moment when my sister looked over at me and said, "You were as white as a sheet."
Guess how much she
is. I knew I had to get you out of
$666.
There. $666. She's $666, Ken. Oh my God!
Is she a pleasure model?
She probably is.
Well, she's got the crucifix, so I'm sure it's from that scene. So what happened to me is I was 11 and I was watching it on the cut version at home on TV. It was me and my sister, and right when her head spun around, lightning struck outside and knocked the electricity out. So that image was burned into my mind. From there on out. Oh, man, it was awful.
I'm in love with
and
this
you
thing.
Became a skeptic. Whereas you could have gone the other direction in that one moment and said, if I ever needed proof that there was a devil, that was proof.
And it was. At that age, it was. It was.
Yeah, because your critical mind was totally open, your belief system was open, and you just as easily, that could have led you down the opposite road from where you are right now. That where you decided to go with that was the critical mind coming in, the part of you saying, okay, here's what happened. this happened and this happened doesn't mean that one was connected to the other. It means
right.
two different things happened.
Right.
Where somebody else might say this, proof positive. Proof positive. God made lightning strike when the devil was turning a girl's head around.
Yeah.
That's proof positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that set me on a course.
It's a choice. It's about choice, and it's about using that part of your brain to say, okay, maybe that's not as cut and dried.
You know, I want to just take a short little shift here and make sure that everyone that hears this, if they want to learn more about Ken, you know, first of all, hypnosis.edu is where I'm taking my courses. So if anybody out there is interested in taking these courses, that's the place to go. And then, Ken, tell us everything that they need to know to learn more about you.
If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website. That's braintrainingunlimited.com. Braintrainingunlimited, it's all one word, .com, or you can just Google Ken Dubner also, and it would probably come up as one of the first ones. And the reason I call it brain training is because they literally have found that by doing cognitive different exercises, the actual structure of the brain changes. The neural pathways change. It's how the brain learns.
Right.
The brain is much more plastic than we ever thought. Up till 10 years ago, we thought you didn't grow back cells. If you lost them, that was it. Thank God for me and a lot of my friends that went through college for 5 years. That is not the case, and evidently you can get those skills back. So you can actually do a lot with your brain simply by doing the cognitive stuff. And so I like that word, brain training. And that tells you all about how to do Skype sessions with me. If there's something you want to discuss, it has a little bio. It talks about my journey into the mind and why I got into it. And it's a good starter for people that just want to find out more. And I'm always, you know, I always welcome, you know, you can email me off of that site and ask me questions. I'm happy to talk about this stuff. I find it fascinating myself. So, you know, feel free. If anybody's listening and they want to check it out and they want to find out more, feel free to email me there too.
That is awesome. And, you know, it brings up an interesting thing. I had subscribed to that, which I guess is now an urban legend, that once you blow a brain cell, it's gone. You don't grow it back.
You know, it's only in the past 10 years or less, there was, I think it was a coma patient that they discovered, you know, over time was regenerating some cells. I'm not sure the exact study. I'm not a scientist. But that's something, as a skeptic, you should look up.
I think it was funded by Jose Cuervo.
Double check my facts and figures on that one.
But, funded by Jose Cuervo.
In fact, why is the gentleman in the back, is that a gentleman in the back? Let's see.
Yep.
Yeah. Why is the gentleman in the back on the computer looking up pictures of Linda Blair when he could be finding out about brain cells right now?
I don't need brain cells. I got those.
He doesn't have that many left. Every one of his stories...
I think we went to college together.
Yeah. Every one of his stories starts out with, one night we were drinking heavily.
Yes, they do.
And one of them actually ends with him being chased by a drunken lab baboon.
Yes, it does.
And this,
you don't know this?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell that to you sometime.
Yeah, so maybe we should do that, because I think there's probably a lot of people that have not heard
the drunken baboon story. I'll hold out on that till it's not 11 after the time.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll have to tell my the time I got in a cage fight in Mexico with a chimpanzee.
Oh, my God.
A chain fight or a chain fight?
A cage fight.
Cage fight.
You know, and now I'm wondering, who the fuck am I doing this radio show with?
That's great, Hypno Boy, but let's hear about the baboon.
That's nice. Yeah, well, the baboon, I'll give you the short version of it. They broke in.
Yeah, that's how it has to start.
They were drinking heavily and broke in. Now, see, the thing of Brian...
There was no drinking.
You weren't drunk, just the baboon. The thing is Brian has a couple of things he's informed me never to ask of him. There's three things. One of them is, dude, work.
Exactly.
He won't work.
It's not going to happen.
Another one is, dude, dance, because he will never dance. I can never say, dude, dance. And I can never say, dude, run, because those three things he will not do. But
my own heart.
When there's a drunken baboon,
he runs
like the wind.
Yes, I do.
It's a beautiful thing to see. But, from what I can remember of the story, they basically broke into Fort Logan Mental Hospital, and there was some primates that were they were testing the effects of alcohol.
Yeah.
On
them. Wait, I think I saw this. Wasn't this the beginning of 21 Days, the movie?
Kind of.
Yeah.
pretty much.
That's right.
You literally almost started the plague of the 21st century.
Yes, beautiful. Yes. They were feeding drunken baboons rage, and that was the name of the alcohol, I guess. But no, this baboon was seriously drunk, and I got out somehow and chased Brian. So I don't how these things happen to him. I don't know. And then we'll have to hear the cage match with the chimpanzee at some point, too. Get out.
Yeah, I actually want to hear that one also.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll let you know when I've heard it, and then we'll go from there. Ken, we're going to absolutely have to have you back on the show again. It just seems like we've scratched the surface, and I really hope that a lot of people decide to come and learn more about what you do and how you see things and everything, because this is fascinating for me.
Well, like we talked about, I do private instruction on hypnosis. I'm always welcome to talk to people who have the opposing viewpoint. And for those people who want to look up brain cell regenerating, I was just doing it on my other computer, and there's a whole bunch of new information going back about 10 years about the way that the brain is a lot more plastic than we ever thought.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Again, a belief that was just written in stone 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain didn't regenerate, and guess what? If you thought it did, you were crazy.
Yeah.
And not a qualified doctor.
You know, but the thing that sucks is that's how we've come to refer to people that we think are stupid. They've got maybe two brain cells. You know, that's how we just come to refer to them, and now that's not true anymore.
So. I just like calling them stupid, but I grew up in New Jersey, so it's a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't have that way about us that you guys have in Colorado.
Well, we call things here, you know, when we're having to do with the paranormal, we call it para-stupid. So,
para-stupid. Now, I do want to see some video. I tried to get that video on the Facebook. I really want to see what happened with this guy. I will probably be holding my face in my hands.
Yes, you will. But in a good way.
I will send you some links that you can just click
please
on.
Please do. And please, I implore you, next time you're going to do hypnosis with someone who may or may not be quite all there, talk to me first.
Well there's no question about it.
Let's get a little safety protocol going. And maybe just tell. And by the way, for next time we talk, we'll talk about voodoo. We'll talk about the trance state in Bali, the whole possession spirit.
Oh, God, yes.
It's what started a lot of people on their journey.
We were just talking about Serpent in the Rainbow a little bit earlier, so we will hold.
Now, which one is Serpent in the Rainbow?
Serpent in the Rainbow is a Wes Craven movie, but it's also a book.
Well, it's the chronicles of a pharmaceutical research guy that went to Haiti to.
Oh, I remember. I do remember the movie.
The
vaguely
forget the movie.
Read
the book. The book is.
The book's
it's a true story.
Wait, are you telling me there's a Wes Craven movie where the book is better?
Yes.
I mean, the movie didn't come out just an A-level movie.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy to even think that. But yes, that's absolutely true. But so yeah, we were just actually talking about that before the show. And
well, guess what? You now are officially a voodoo master, I would think.
Exactly.
Possession like
yeah,
that.
He built himself a zombie, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that I did. And the funny thing is now this guy would do anything we asked him to.
Oh, he would.
And so. That's the frightening thing. And all kidding aside, that's the frightening thing. Once you have someone believing with you in that extent that man now is investing in you, your ability to influence them goes way up. And that's, you know, cults, corporations, you name it. There's that phenomena of you're now one up from him. And so he will worship the ground you walk on, so to speak. And that doesn't just happen with people in the paranormal, you know. I'm sure if James Randi steps in the room of the Skeptic Society, there's a lot of people who want to touch the hem and just get a little piece of that James Randi magic. Even though it's not magic, it's still magic.
It's true. Yeah, and it's funny to watch these things happen, just like you were talking about when a certain individual at HMI would walk in, how it was amazing.
Yeah,
and I've watched that, you know, when I worked for Apple Computer, watching, you know, they warned us when we walked into the headquarters at Apple Computer. They said, okay, if you see Steve Jobs,
don't look him directly in the eye.
Yeah, don't look him directly in the eye. Don't openly weep. You know,
don't worry, it's not going to happen.
No, this was true, because people have done this, you know, no flash photography, all the typical stuff, but yeah, don't openly weep. I thought that was brilliant. And then I had to stand behind him in the lunch line, and I was freaking out. just standing behind him. But I thought I was going to step on the back of his Birkenstocks or something and get fired. But it's a bizarre thing when someone's got that one upmanship going.
And it doesn't just last through a lifetime. I'm out here in L.A. I'm out here dealing with people in the industry, in the entertainment industry. And if you talk to anyone who's ever done a presentation for Disney, repeatedly you will hear this. Don't make jokes about Walt Disney. Don't make jokes about Walt being frozen. Don't make jokes even when it's just you and one of the guys by yourself and you're just kidding around, because you will lose rapport faster than you can imagine.
Wow.
And it will piss them off.
Wow.
Because it's their belief. You know, it's their little group. It's their thing. Walt is very beloved by those people. And
right.
Therefore, you're stepping on their belief system.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Ken, thank you so much. We've gone 20 minutes over. I think we should probably let some of these people get on with their evening that are listening.
Please, guys, go out.
Yeah,
have a good time.
Have a life. It's a Monday night.
Come on, seriously. What are you doing on the internet?
Really?
There's porno. Please, go find something. Enjoy yourself.
He's got me blocked. I can't.
Seriously. Seriously, if you could see me and these guys, you would know. There's a lot better things to look at.
That's for sure. That's
we
for sure.
We implore you.
We thank you so much, and we definitely have to have you back on the show again. This has been so much fun, and I definitely want to talk about these other subjects. So, that being said, you have a fantastic night.
Thank you, sir. Matthew, why don't you call me tomorrow, and we'll catch up. I really feel like I've found a kindred spirit and a friend, so it's been a very enjoyable process.
Oh, God, they're soulmates.
Thank you so much. Shut up, man. Shut up.
I can feel the love.
Stay out of it.
Can you feel it?
I'm feeling it.
Ryan's just jealous because he doesn't want anyone else to be friends with me. We go
by the way,
every time
people,
I find a new friend,
if people
he does
could
it.
See a video screen of the way he looked when he said it. The pure, pure, unadulterated jealousy on
it
his
is.
Face.
It is.
I don't know what happened. Oh, no. Big man in the middle. I'm talking about you.
Me?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. I was walking down the street, he grabbed me and said, hey, you want to be on a radio show?
Who are you? Why are you taking me to your apartment?
I'm here for the band.
Oh, God, if I had a nickel for every time I heard
now,
that.
Now they're going to break down and start talking about how mom never hugged him. So, listen, guys, when that happens, braintrainingunlimited.com. I'll do what I can for you.
Excellent. Oh, Ken, it's been great. We will talk with you very soon. And, yes, I'll give you a call tomorrow.
How are you doing, man?
All right. Have a good night.
Good night,
Ken.
Take care. Bye. Oh, God, I'm glad we got rid of him.
That was
that was a really fun show. I really enjoyed that. And we still have people listening to this. This is amazing.
You know something? In cruising around on eBay trying to find an Exorcist thing, like I do so often.
Well, St. Ken doesn't realize that it was Exorcist paraphernalia that got us through last Friday night.
But
so.
St. Benedict medal.
Uh-huh.
Which we can go down to Gherkin's and buy for like a dollar.
Right.
They're selling for between $30 and $60 as Exorcist props.
Ooh, why don't we go do that? Let's go buy some of those.
Sell
them on eBay.
I'm thinking about it.
Business opportunity.
My brother.
Oh, man. We got to do this. Okay. So how'd you guys feel about the guests? Did you learn anything tonight?
I think it was great. I think he knows what he's talking about. Like you said, there are so many areas that we didn't even scratch upon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Yeah, lots of knowledge there.
This is fun.
I scratch upon a lot of areas.
But not after I've had the hot sauce, I hope.
No.
That can be bad.
Oh, man. That gave me visuals I will not be able to get rid of now.
Good.
It's like God throwing that flash of lightning when the head spun around. So, next week, what do you think? Should we shoot for the Yes Men, or what do you think? Who should we shoot for?
Oh, Yes Men.
You think Yes Men?
Yes Men. I'm going to rewatch that. Those guys are amazing. I like the social experiment they do.
Now, I did forget to send you my Easter present that I was going to send everybody.
Oh, God. This ad says it has this little boy in a rabbit suit with a basket.
Crazy.
And it says, are your children playing with Lucifer's testicles? The truth about Easter eggs. Oh, my God.
Is that brilliant?
And those aren't Easter eggs. Those are hairy, hairy nutsacks.
Read that line up at the very top of that, though, in red.
Yeah, remedial Christian parenting.
Oh, that is brilliance. Oh, my God. Okay. Let's get off of the air here and let these people get on with their evening. So I know that you weren't in the chat room all night, so I don't know if anybody had any questions or anything.
No, they were pretty tame.
It's pretty tame, yeah. Because, see, I'm not seeing anybody dropping out. I mean, everybody was pretty attentive. And
maybe
really
they weren't even listening.
That could be, too.
Seen this chat room go on for an hour or two
after
the show.
We've gotten off,
yeah. So people go away.
All right, everybody. Actually, to be honest, we do love you. And we're gonna go ahead, I think, and keep this whole idea of having a brilliant guest on again next week. And there was someone else too that I was gonna try to get on the show, and I can't remember who it is. I think we should grab Brian Brushwood while we can again, because he's always fun, and he's the other guy that recommended Influence from Robert Cialdini to us.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it's an amazing book.
Two people, recommend that book to us. Yeah, Joe, if you get a chance, read it. You'll love it.
Oh, I will.
How about Mr. Spangler?
It's called Influence. Steve Spangler, we are guessing, will be December
24th, 2012. Okay. So 2 days after the apocalypse. Gotcha.
We we're probably going to be hopping down to see him. I already can't remember. Tomorrow or Friday or something. I can't remember. I'm going to have to call him again because I already forgot. But yeah, Karen and I were going to drop in on him. And we already got the big box of great stuff.
Yep.
For those of you that are going to Skepticamp, Steve Spangler has basically donated a door prize for every person that walks through the door for Skepticamp.
It's awesome.
Yep.
So
it's a piece of paper that says thanks.
Steve Spangler. Yeah. Thanks.
Can I give it a little hint without giving it away?
Thanks, buy my shit, I think is what it says.
It's easy. It's his most famous thing.
It is his most famous thing.
But do people know who he is, though?
He's the inventor of the Spangler wrench.
He's the guy that's always on Channel 9.
Yeah.
Steve Spangler is better than Bill Nye the Science Guy.
He is.
I haven't seen enough. I'm not
Steve Spangler hasn't promoted nonsensical, deionized water.
Yes. Yeah, Bill Nye got knocked down a few notches.
Yeah, but how many attaboys did he do, though?
I don't know, but we're going to wrestle him to the ground and say, what's wrong with you,
yep,
at the next TAM.
Well, let's get him on the show.
We're going to try to get him for a TAM.
Yeah.
So DJ hopefully will be able to wrangle that for us. So maybe I'll call DJ out of the blue next Monday and we'll get him on the show.
Yeah.
You know what the hell? Let's see if DJ's around. What else we got going here? Let's try to call DJ. Contacts. Offline. If his number's even in here. And it's not. Okay, just give me the number pad and we'll call him. All right, where's my phone?
Uh-huh. This show just went to brilliant all of a sudden.
there's just no hurry. I just got a text from Rich Orman.
I hate you guys.
Okay, no, it says, I think the next ritual should involve Pop-Tarts.
Ooh.
So if we can figure out a way to make
this work. Now, we could use Pop-Tarts if it's got red, red, blue, and green sprinkles.
See, I think, true, but I think we should try to make it a little more difficult and make the next ritual involve bacon. Can we make that work?
Some bacon.
Now, if you use maple bacon, because it had the sugar content in it, I think you can get away with it.
Well, that's true, but...
Oh, it can have a cloven-hoofed animal.
There we go, a cloven-hoofed animal.
We need to have a sacrifice of the skin of a cloven-hoofed animal.
Absolutely.
And we're fresh out of
delicious goats. Cloven-hoofed.
Exactly.
See, and now DJ might actually answer the phone. For those of you who don't know, DJ is the president of the James Randi Education Foundation.
Okay.
He might actually answer the phone because of the fact that this is Skype and he won't be able to see who's calling.
Well, no.
So, yeah, every time he sees Baxter come up on his caller ID, he avoids me like a plague now. So why don't you say, this is Joe Anderson?
I will.
Okay. We'll go ahead and we'll just call him.
Now, if he does answer, how quickly shall I let him in on a secret?
As soon as he realizes who you are. Does he know who you are?
Yeah, of course.
Then we'll see what happens here. And if we just get the answer machine, leave a glowing message about how we need to talk to Tam because of that experiment.
Absolutely.
The call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3-2-3-2-6. The tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay, here we go.
DJ, hey, it's Joe Anderson. How you doing, man? Hey, listen, I was wanting to talk to you about a couple things. Talking with Brian and Baxter of the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Group here. Listen, they've done some pretty interesting work this past week. I was involved with it a little bit. And, you know, I just want to talk to you a little bit about, you and I talked about different ideas for TAM and how we can show and highlight some of the different groups around skepticism. And I they've got some really interesting stuff. So if you give me a call back or tweet me or email me, I think you've got all my information. That would be great. I'd like to hear from you. Anyway, say hi to Thomas and to Surly Amy. You guys have a great night. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. Could have said something about, you know, how great in particular Baxter is, but that's okay. We'll worry about that next time.
You have to hypnotize me first. Oh wait, that's outside my belief system. I guess it wouldn't really.
It's not
going to
work then.
It's not going to work.
All right. We'll see about that. All right. So I guess we're going to get off of here, and we will see everybody next week. Really enjoyed the fact that you guys stuck around this long for us. It's very cool. Brian's waving bye in the background.
Peace out.
Good night.
Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them, but now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them, but now I believe them. Everybody's stupid, everybody's stupid, everybody's stupid about me. Oh, somebody told me that you were so stupid. You